Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and we are here tonight to talk about the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother Canada 9. With me today to talk through all of this is Kevin Martin. How you doing, Kevin?
Aaron Armstrong. I'm doing great, man. I'm doing awesome. I'm thriving. It's exciting. BB Can 9 is the best season in a long time. And it's getting to the point where it could even rival 5 and 2. You know, people consider season 2 and season 5 as the ultimate seasons from BB Can. I'm telling you, number 9's up there. It's a great season, boys. I've never stayed this emotionally attached to a season in a long time. And we're going to talk all, but I got some notes. There's so much happening. Let's get to it. I'm excited.
There's a lot to talk about here with Kevin. Also joining me is Jacob Jones. How you doing, Jacob?
You know, Taryn, hey, just for the audience, I told Taryn that I was on one right before we went live, and I'm really on one tonight. And you will never see a bigger stand for one house. Well, I've been a bigger stand for other house guests, but I had on a muscle tee before I had on this, and it was in honor of Ty. Love him. How can you not? And I'm excited to talk about all the shenanigans, all the mess. And I feel like this is a perfect episode, like Kevin said, to have this guy on, because it was so much stuff went down this episode. So
Ty's making out with other men.
Let's get to it.
It's a man on man action. It's as if it was. We didn't plan this. We didn't know that was going to be on the episode.
Oh, I mean, God, this has been happening for a minute.
I would say, in terms of men making out with men on Big Brother Canada, I am one of the best guests you can have. I'm a professional the subject, man. Who else could you have on but me for this episode?
You can.
Yes. Also, when we got into the call, Jacob was like, "Oh, Kevin, that's a great shirt. I have that exact shirt." And we were like, "Go put it on." Look what happened now. We're all in blue here. Ready to talk blue, about the episode.
Blue bros.
Boys blue in bros. Blue.
Yeah.
All right. There was another hashtag we could have went with that one too, but blue bros are good.
I think blue bros, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
blue
bros. That's the one for sure.
Blue lines, yeah. Well, let's talk about this episode that we just saw here on Big Brother Canada 9. This is the episode with all the stuff that we missed from the feeds, and it does feel like we saw a little bit here. But it was an interesting episode. We got to see Ty and Brayden. We saw Brayden's decisions. We saw this veto competition, and what ultimately ended with Beth and Tara on the block. Brayden opens the episode talking about this is his first taste of power, and in the fake double eviction, Tara went home, but he wanted for Beth to be the one to go home, so this time he's gonna get his way and Beth is gonna go out of the game. Kev?
Yeah, I mean, it appears to be, I think the Big Brother community, especially online, is rejoicing a little bit to see Beth kind of lose her footing in the game, because she's been safe for a while and people were really excited about that. But yeah, I mean, that's one of the main storylines. Let's start with Brayden.
Yeah.
Brayden, who's won 3 comps in a row? Unbelievable developments here, man. If you paying attention to the comps, especially in the first half of the game, it'd be interesting talking to Brayden. Was he throwing some? Was the intensity there? I imagine it's a little mix of both. But he's turned it up, man. If you're talking about competitors in the house at the first half of the season, I would have had Brayden at the bottom, maybe even last. He looked pathetic in the competitions. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I mean, he just turned it up. He's won 3 straight, and the other house guests aren't like bad. He's just really done good things. And in today's comp with the balls, that was endurance. I tweeted that was an amazing comp from Big Brother. I really enjoyed it. It mixed endurance, strategy, and it was a beautiful comp. But yeah, to me, coming away from this episode, the headline is Brayden is making a run at this thing for sure.
Yeah, I mean, 3 competitions in a row is definitely big. I think in particular, looking at the strategy that he used to win the betting competition, he just stuck to a strategy, nailed it, knew a lot of the questions and nailed the tiebreaker. And then in this veto competition, he seemed to be the only one that nailed the timing on the balls. Looking at him, when it came down to him and Ty, Ty was having to run to catch the ball. Every time it was like just there. Whereas Braden, it was on the last paddle every time. So Braden had the timing down. He timed it out. It was a much, much better strategy here, I think, in both of the competitions that we actually saw. The fake double eviction veto. I have no idea what happened in that. But good strategies in the competitions. And that's something that you know about as well, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, these things are very skill-based, no doubt about it. There's a little bit of luck, but these things are massively skill-based. And in the DR, he was really impressive because he told the strategy. He's like, I counted the amount of seconds, and then I'm going to divide that by the amount of balls. So if you have the number that a total path takes, every time you add a new ball, you can just divide, and that's the perfect rate at which to drop the ball. And he did amazing stuff. I'm very impressed with Braden.
Yeah, it seems like the toughest points in this competition are when you add a new ball, because you're not prepared with the timing. So you need to know ahead of time when you're going to do that, because all it takes is one mistake and then you're out like that. And I think that's exactly what happened to all three of Kiefer, Beth, and Tara. They added that third ball and they just lost it immediately. But Braden is able to take it home. Now, what Braden is doing with the power is another story, Jacob.
Wait, I want to say first off, Braden was the star of this episode. I feel as, I mean, he won two powers, HOH, and then the power of veto. And I mean, that can, you know, get you some more airtime, but even just his DRs and his conversation with the other house, because I thought were phenomenal. And I've never been such a Braden fan as I was tonight. And especially, you know, rah, you know, him and Ty, I'm like, rah, rah, rah. But I don't think that Braden made a horrible move. It's different. It definitely some better outcomes that could have happened based on this. But I think for Braden's game and for, you know, him thinking, oh, I can take Ty to the end, like, it's not that seemingly so bad of a move, you know, to who he nominated and what he kind of projected out this week and what we see the outcome, you know, when we'll talk about later. So, I mean, honestly, I want to give Braden his flowers. He deserves it.
His powers, yes.
What he does with his power is very interesting. And this is where the lack of the live feeds really, I think, because I am an episode watcher. I get updates on Twitter and social media. I get some storylines from the live feeds. But how I experience Big Brother season is through the episodes. And based off this episode, it really seemed like the Kiefer backdoor was the play. That's the narrative we've been sold. At least that's what I took away from it. If it's like, if Braden is going to take Kiefer and Ty into the final four, that's going to be very challenging for him because he's a massive threat now. He's won three comps in a row. He's got a good story. If they get Beth out at five, who does Braden think is the target at four? It's got to be Braden, especially if, Ty and Kiefer have two shots at immunity. They're going into the final four with the HOH comp and the POV. So while Braden was the star of the episode, if I had to create some sort of Las Vegas betting rankings, I think I would have to put Kiefer and Ty as the favorites to win this thing. Even though Braden did have an amazing episode, in my mind, those two guys are still the top two dogs in this fight right now.
Yeah, and ultimately, we're going to get an argument from Beth, which turns out to be very correct. Based on the four interviews that I have done with the jury members, every single one of them has listed Kiefer as their top pick to win the game that they would give their vote to by a mile, with Jed saying most recently that anybody that didn't take a shot at Kiefer would look stupid. And that Kiefer should have to win out from this point forward because somebody would be stupid to not take a shot at him. And then literally at the end of this episode, you have Beth saying there are only so many opportunities to make a move and stand out from the rest. And this is in a ceremony, which I do believe is shown to the jury members. So they will get to see that. And so what is he thinking? Why is he not taking the shot at Kiefer? Kiefer's going to win this thing.
Okay, but I'm a Kiefer fan. So like, I mean, a Kiefer semi fan. So I'm kind of glad that Kiefer isn't like semi fan. You know, I mean, Ty's my number one. So I get Kiefer's like, you know, my number two, even three.
But Beth is your number two?
Stop playing with me. I have to chuckle at that. That was funny, Taryn. But I have to think about, like, as I'm Brayden, like, he has had no power this entire game, really. And I was just in his mind in this episode, and I was like, the jury, I feel like, don't really like Beth. So I feel like they would be like, oh, you got rid of Beth. I hate her. I'm so glad she's not in the running anymore. Even though that's not really best for your outcome of your entire game, I felt as though like that's probably what Brayden was walking through of like, people hate Beth. People are going to be extremely happy about like who gets her out because she's not in the running to get the $100,000. And so it could be a little in the end, but I mean, obviously getting Keeper would be a bigger movement, you know, a smarter move. We're projecting towards like Brayden, you know, somewhat winning this game, but I don't think this move to put up Beth and Tara was ultimately, you know, horrible or that bad because of the portrayal. I mean, the portrayal, not the betrayal, the portrayal.
The portrayal. Is that a, I think we're looking at it from one angle, which is how does it look to the jury? I think it looks pretty bad to the jury based on how the conversations I've had with them have gone. But I think in addition to that, there's a reason it looks bad to the jury. And the reason is, he also just needs Kiefer out, right? Because if he lets Kiefer stay in the game, Kiefer is now a guarantee to win this game as long as he just wins two competitions. One in the final four, one in the final three, if you count the final three as one. That alone, like the reason why you should take the shot at Kiefer, and it would look bad if you didn't, is because you need to take the shot at Kiefer because Kiefer's going to win.
He's the number one threat. But like, if say like Brayden, he should be thinking of, oh, how does the jury view each individual player? And Kiefer, honestly, his resume is like dope as heck. That's why I've been riding this Kiefer bandwagon for the longest. After I've been seeing numerous episodes of RHAP and y'all been dogging on Kiefer numerous times, and I'm looking at you, Taryn, and I have been paying Kiefer nothing but dues. Like, Kiefer is one of the best players to win this season. But I'm just like, Brayden is probably like, oh, people hate Beth. So like, why not do this?
Well, he says himself in the episode, right? Brayden is a people pleaser. And he doesn't like doing this. And I think that is the problem here, he is people pleasing both in the game and potentially he thinks maybe if he's doing this to please the jury in some way, because he thinks that they don't like Beth, he's trying to people please the jury. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work in that sense, but, you never know.
You never know.
Dude, I mean, I think the Kiefer train has started a long time ago. It was about halfway through the season where I said, this guy, once he survived the back door, I was like, you have to look at this guy as the biggest favorite to win in my mind. And he's doing what's really impressive. He has the votes in the jury house, but he's still remaining safe in the game. You know, that's to do both of those things displays a pretty high level skill of Big Brother. I would know. I was unable to do one of those things down the stretch. So I know how hard that can be. How do you not get O'Keefer here? It's just a huge blunder. It's a massive blunder. My theory with Big Brother Canada, once you get down to the final six, final five, final four, that end game part, you have to ask yourself basically one question. And the question is, who is the biggest favorite to win this game right now? Who has the most win equity? And after you answer that question, almost 100% of the time, you should be going after that person, right? Mm-hmm. And once you get to the end game, to not vote for the person who has the best chance to win, you need a massive other reason. Like almost all the time, I would say, going through the history of Big Brother, that is the correct play. So the fact that Kiefer first of all, survived the back door, which is unbelievable. I can't believe he did that. I mean, that's kind of shame on Jedson. And we saw Jedson's epic demise a week later, but that's unbelievable. And if Kiefer goes on to win this thing, I think with the story, with both the comp wins, surviving the back door, he was also the guy who got, you know, Jedson not to use the veto on himself. The combination of those things, he could go down as one of the best winners of all time, at least for Big Brother Canada. I think he would be up there at this point if he took this game. That's how overall impressed I am with Kiefer. I think he's playing amazing, dude.
Kevin, you kind of hopped on the Kiefer bandwagon like after he got backdoored and he survived. I hopped on the Kiefer bandwagon when he walked into the Expedia room like, like, what is this extra room? Like, I've been, like, I I was gonna make a Twitter account. I never did, but I was gonna be like a Kiefer stan because I always loved Kiefer. But Kiefer, I feel like, has been like by the fandom of Big Brother, got handed like a bad deal. Honestly, and I'm like, I'm glad you're on here to give him some praise. I mean, yeah, I feel like Taran, he's been playing a good game. So
I love
like
how you two are fighting over who is the bigger Kiefer stan. I've always been the biggest Kiefer.
Are you on the Kiefer bandwagon?
No.
I'll say this. Back in week three, when most of the players were still in the house, I said that Kiefer was the strongest strategic player in the game. Mm. I think that still holds true. However, I do not think that that Kiefer would be one of the better winners. I think that Kiefer
has
had a very weak game that
really
is still
so maybe,
better
maybe
than
do
his
what
competition.
It is. That's it. You're judged against your competition.
Yes.
You know. So maybe is what you're suggesting, if I'm going to read into your words, you're suggesting that everyone is playing at a low level, so Kiefer's medium level, he suddenly seems like the best that's ever been, just by comparison.
Exactly. I mean, in this very episode, we have Kiefer talking to Brayden and saying, I mean, I think you're going to backdoor me. Why would I do that? Because that's the best move for you to make, to build your resume. Obviously, you should backdoor me. What are you doing, Kiefer?
Well,
what happened? He didn't get backdoored. Obviously, he's doing something right, man. I think the word isn't dopey. He's just like a goofy guy, and he connects with people.
He connects with people. Just like 2 weeks ago from doing the exact same thing.
Hey, we're going to agree to disagree. I say give Kiefer some dues. I hear what you're saying about the season being messy, but I don't know, man. To me, he's a little underrated right now. What's the social pulse of it? Because sometimes I don't get the status of the community. Are they not very high on Kiefer right now?
I mean, I think like what I've seen on Twitter, and Taran probably has a better pulse on this, but what I've seen, I keep seeing Kiefer hate, not Kiefer hate, but Kiefer like not like. And I am confused because honestly, Kiefer has not bushed a grape in a fruit fight. Like Kiefer has not done anything to invite this much. Oh, rah, rah, rah.
He's
we
pretty
want
mean
this.
to Ro.
Okay. No. I liked Ro preseason and his persona that Ro had. Kiefer was stuck on the Ro issue too long and I didn't like that. But I mean, Ro came at him sideways. Kiefer came at him right ways and it was what it was and he got him out. And so I want to nullify that. But I always liked Kiefer. I thought Kiefer was a fun guy. I thought Kiefer was a lovable guy. I think he has personal connection with a lot of people. And I think the thing is that people don't like is that he is so amazing. Like Kiefer thinks he is one of the like best Big Brother players that ever was. And I think that is what doesn't resonate with Big Brother fans. And like, oh, why do you think you're like X, Y, and Z, you know?
Like just as an example, so, you know, Kiefer survived the back door, right? But this is how he survived the back door. He first of all put himself in a spot where he was playing the game for that trio for so long, and you know, playing the game so that they would benefit. Then they turned around and decided to send him home. He spent the first like 2 days, just three more sleeps until I leave this place. Just two more sleeps until I leave this place. Oh, I can't wait to leave this place. Oh, I'm about to self-evict. Ah, fine. I'll talk to Jed. Hey, Jed. I mean, I think it's best for you to keep me.
Oh my God, couldn't we?
Oh, we're keeping Kiefer. That's about how it happened.
Stop.
And then afterward, he was like, that's how you do it. Hard work. Let's go. To think that I was going to self-evict.
He does have a large confidence to him. And I always say there's a very thin line between confidence and arrogance. There is a difference, but it's a very thin line. And a little dose of confidence is good. It's healthy, I think. He believes in himself. And you can see it. Why not have a positive mindset? The way he keeps talking, I'm going to win this game. It's working for him. He's rolling.
I do want to say it is not necessarily just the competition. It's more like what I see Kiefer do and how he plays, that he is constantly making mistakes. So like another example of Kiefer's game is that the only reason Ty targeted Tara in the double eviction is because Kiefer convinced him to. And then when we saw the episode, Kiefer was like, damn it, I didn't want Tara to go. I wanted Beth to go. Then why did you talk Ty into changing his target from Beth to Tara? And then in the moment, you weren't able to switch it back. There's just no reason for it. It's because he's just constantly doing things like that. And it's so all over the place. He's telling everyone at the final five that he should be the target at the final five. He's telling everyone that he should be the target at the final four. He's constantly telling Ty, like, I don't trust you. Why would you ever take me to the end? At the moment, nobody plans on taking him to the end. So it's kind of like there are just so many mistakes that he's making in the game, and they've nearly cost him a couple of times, but he has managed to get through. And like I said, I do respect that he is, I think, the best strategic player in the house, but there are some other things that I think are to be desired.
I mean, like, I feel like Brayden made this perfect analogy, and at the time I didn't get the analogy, but I had to Google it. But it was basically about the crops rising to the corn, the cream rising, like he said, like the cream rises on top of the corn or something like that.
Wait, was he talking about milk? Cream rises?
No, he was talking about like corn casserole, I believe. Like, I don't know. Okay, cream corn. I think he was talking about, but he was like the cream rises, you know, above corn, the corn. Cream. Yes, that's it. Yeah. And so I think as the, Sarah, I feel like you're making fun of me, but I feel like as lowbrow as strategic ability that these house guests have thus far, I feel like Kiefer is the cream and the rest of the house guests are the corn, and Kiefer is rising above the corn as the cream. I probably butchered that analogy.
I hear what you're saying. It's the same. It's the same analogy as Taryn. It's essentially, you know,
I feel like we're watching in AAA
baseball. Someone in AAA baseball could be like bat 345 home runs, and if they move up to the majors, they're just like horrendous. You know, you're judged by your competition. So I understand.
Well, I would say it's more like somebody in AAA baseball batting like 150, but still winning the game.
I want Taryn to go on one of these shows. Taryn's one of my best friends. I want him to go out and, you know, I just like a pre-jury boot, just a complete flop. Just eat some of his
own. I would love it.
You're so critical sometimes. I understand Brent is gone, and you need to bring, you know, more of this spiteful energy, but I can't believe you feel this way about Kiefer.
I often get criticized for being too full of praise. That there's even in the chat right now, people are like, oh, but he loves Tyler. Like,
I can get in the sense how you like Tyler, but I don't get how you can love Tyler.
Well, I don't love Tyler.
I think me and you should jump Taryn after this, and to, you know, just like, you know, bring him down, you know, back. But yeah.
All right. Well, after this podcast,
keeping it real, hashtag keep hope alive.
After this podcast, I'm going to be playing Pummel Party with Kevin. And,
yeah, that'll be fun. I'm excited for that.
He's played this game, that game a lot. I've never played it before. So we'll see. We'll see who gets embarrassed.
Yeah. See how they just excluded me out of that?
Silent confidence over here is all I'm going to say.
Jacob Jones was not invited.
Y'all hear this, right? Okay.
Yeah. All right. So that's Kiefer. I mean Kevin, we're looking at a season where somebody decided to use the veto on somebody sitting next to them on the block, and then in response the HOH put up her closest ally to fulfill the deal that she made, and is now, this is another thing from this episode, Tara is very upset when she's put on the block, because she was not the reason that Brayden went on the block. She's like, why am I getting blamed for this? It was Kiefer. It was Ty. It wasn't me. And I'm just like, why are you saying this, Tara? Why are you doing everything in your power to get rid of all the credit that you should have for this move? Mm-hmm. First of all, you put Brayden on the block in the first place, which was a terrible idea. It won you no credit with Ty, who then evicted you that very night, the way that the eviction happened. And it let Ty and Kiefer maintain all the credit, which you are continuing to perpetuate by saying that it was entirely Kiefer and Ty that made the move and not me.
Tara is, I have moments where my heart as like, go Tara, Like she, but when my mind thinks about Tara, I'm not a fan at all. But there are, she does have flashes of rootable underdog. Like her win over Jedson was very, very epic. But in terms of her game, her decision to put up Bray was really rough, and she instantly got voted out, obviously. Yeah, going back to those Vegas betting odds, if I think odds were released on the final five here, I would put Tara at number five. I really think she's in a spot where potentially we're seeing a losing finalist here. Very likely, I think that could be Tara right now. I think she would be the overall favorite to be the losing finalist at this point, because I don't think she's going to get axed at the final four. I think it's a spot where it seems like Ty and Kiefer are now going to go after Brayden, even though let's ask, out of that trio, they've obviously been very close. Where are the allegiances a little bit stronger of that three? Because from my perspective, it seems like Ty and Kiefer are a little bit closer, but then Ty is also in with Brayden. So if it came down to it, who's the target at the final four here, do you guys think?
Well, I mean, that unfortunately remains to be seen. But we did see in this episode that Ty does tell us that his final two with Brayden is real, because he thinks he can beat Brayden in the end, right? So that was the first indication to me that Ty understands that he should not go to the end with Kiefer, or at the very least, that he should prefer to go to the end with Brayden. I do not know if that means that he wants to cut Kiefer at four. It seemed like when Brayden discussed the option of taking a shot at Kiefer this week, that Ty was kind of shutting it down. Like, I'm very used to hearing Ty when he's trying to shut something down, and that was very much Ty trying to shut something down. He did not want it to happen. So if I had to guess, I would assume that Ty is targeting Tara at four. I do not know for sure what Kiefer would do, and I do not know what Tara would do at this point. I don't know entirely what Brayden would do either, if I'm being honest. If Ty has some say in it, then it may be that he gets Brayden to take out Tara potentially, but you don't know for sure.
Is Bray in love with this guy? What's going on? Is this fun for both of them?
This is the thing. So we hear from Brayden. There's no way Ty touches the block this week. He's his number one. And he thinks that he can beat Ty in the final two. Ty tells us that he knows that Brayden has had a crush on him for weeks now. So he's been cuddling and you know, talking to him a lot and trying to make something. He says he wants Brayden to feel like their connection is more than just a friendship and that he can use that.
Tell you what, if Ty goes on to win this season, there's going to be a lot of men making out with each other on Big Brother Canada for years to come. If Ty wins this whole thing, the next 10 years of Big Brother Canada, the amount of guys cuddling and making out with each other, because that would be two times. This is very, I mean, I can't believe you had me on this episode. There's
Kevin, how
a
do
lot
you
of
like,
Kevin Martin in some of these DRs.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, you set five. The precedent for this. You set the precedent for this. Like, okay, Kevin, I have a question for you.
Yeah, fire away.
So I heard a name to this strategy. And is it like, I saw it on Twitter. Is it like, I heard that it was like called like the host strategy or something like that? Is that what it's called?
I don't want to flash, you know, too far back to BB Can season five, but there's no strategy. You just get along with each other. And, you know, we're in 21. Guys are cuddling a little more in general, I think. And some of it gets on reality TV, and you're in a house. You're in a house. You're a little lonely and you're clicking with people. It seems like, you know, I personally was losing my mind when this came up, because this is really the first flash in the pan we've seen of this since season five. And I mean, in BBB US, there's not too many guys cuddling guys. Mm-hmm. So it's a rare occurrence. And I was living. I was like, Ty, live your life, man. Go on. And Brayden, too. It seems mutual and they're just getting along. And it's great for Ty's game. It's hard to deny that. I mean, he's getting a nice ride here.
I mean, especially I feel like since both of them want to take each other to the end, and both of them personally say, oh, I can beat the other person in the end, it's very beneficial for both at that point. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And especially if Bray continues to like buy into that, then Ty's going to be like, oh, I can definitely take him to the end, and, you know, the vice versa with their relationship. So, you know, it's mutually beneficial a little bit for them.
And I think that they're right as well. I think that they are each other's best shot to win in the end at this point. I actually do feel like Tara may have a better chance than either of them. I think You know, Brayden not making the move on Kiefer this week is going to be pretty detrimental to his jury odds. I think that Ty has also not had the best jury management in the world over the last couple of weeks. And so that could really harm him, especially in comparison to Tara, who will have the underdog sort of momentum and storyline if she gets there. I don't think that's a given, but I do think that they are probably correct. Their best chance is with each other at this point. And I do think that Ty would still have the leg up here, though. I think that Brayden needs to do something to stand out, or just hope that Ty continues to burn all potential bridges.
I mean, I feel like the first instance that she was the first jury member as well, but the first instance that I saw of Ty really not doing great with jury management is his goodbye message to Victoria. It wasn't like very like cuddly and, you know, soft. It was very like, hey, I got you out, like, ha ha, and that type of mechanism. And so I feel like Ty, when he, like, if he makes it to the end, I feel like he's just gonna like talk with his chest out, talk with his pinky out, and talk his ish, and hopefully it'll pan out. And, you know, Ty is my guy, and I'm always riding until the wheels fall off with him. But something I wanted to say before that y'all were talking about is, I know Kevin asked, like, oh, do you think like Brayden or Ty, or like, Ty and Kiefer? And I was always under the interpretation, and I know who knows what the heck is are these house guests thinking, because this season my mind has been flipped weekly based on their mindset. But I feel like Ty is going to take Brayden, and Ty is going to cut. I thought like Ty is always going to cut Kiefer at four, because like they had that little like glimpse of it, you know, last week when Jed backdoored Kiefer, and Ty like had that making was like, oh, Kiefer's like the best to win. He's like, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I feel like, how can you not continue to think that as Kiefer stays in the game? And so probably I'm giving Ty too much logical credit in this, but I feel like, you know, my guy Ty, he has, you know, my thoughts and, you know, my, you know, everything with him. And so I feel like he'll do the right thing.
Yeah, we will see here. Of course, Brayden does put up Beth and Tara. And I think even just the optics of that, the fact that he made the exact same nominations as Ty, like right after Ty did that in the fake double eviction, does not help the narrative here. We do see that Beth tried to make a pitch. She said, hey, the person who stays off the block could use the veto, and all of this, and Brayden's like, she's making a point, but it's not going anywhere. And so Beth says, this is just a rewind. We're just doing the same thing is happening all over again. And I was like, yeah, that's what I was saying on the podcast.
there are villains that you can root for, and there are villains that you can't root for. Beth is a villain that is like really hard for me to root for. She's very hypocritical in her DRs as well. I think if you're going to play the villain, to own it a little bit, but obviously she doesn't understand. There was one scene today where I almost spit out my water. There was a scene where she's like, I can't believe these people would betray me. What did you do to your boyfriend the week before? Like,
literally,
she was really, and it wasn't even, there was no self-realization of how hypocritical she was being. And it was like, yeah, I wrote that down as like, man, I usually root for the villain. I can find a reason to root for the villains. And I'm really struggling with Beth this year for sure.
It was a very interesting back and forth here when Ty goes to see Beth, because he tells us in the diary room, he's like, Beth, you tried to save Jed. That's why you're on the block. That's not my fault. And I'm just like, Ty is, completely like just delusional about this, or he's intentionally lying, because that is not the reason she's on the block at all. The reason she's on the block is because Ty betrayed Jed, and Jed is gone, and now the only target left for Brayden is Beth. And Ty has been encouraging this sort of like momentum. Like Ty is very much at fault for Beth's current position. Now Beth is also very much at fault, but not because she tried to keep Jed. And so Beth is like, but I didn't even try to keep Jed. I wanted him gone, which is also not true. She did want to try to keep Jed. And so she goes and she confronts Ty and Kiefer, and she's like, hey, you guys were flip-flopping with us. It was a group decision. In the end, I cut Jed, but it was a group decision. We both waffled back and forth. And Ty's like, I never said Brayden's name. She's like, well, you guys were just as back and forth as I was. But I never said his name. She's like, Oh, so you never said his name, huh? That's yeah. Okay, so you never said his name, but we were making that decision together, and they weren't. The decision had already been made, but she didn't know that. And so she's just like, it just sucks, because I'm taking all the blame, because you sleep in the same bed as him.
And he said, whoa. He said, wait.
He's like, he didn't like that at all. We're in the same boat, Beth. And she says,
we're not in the same boat, Ty.
No, we're not in the same boat, Ty.
Why don't you go on the block, Beth?
We're not in the same boat, Ty.
Man, I love Ty this season. Ty's great.
I do too.
I'm a big fan of Ty for sure. He's so
good. His confessionals could use some work, but other than that.
But as a person, he oozes charisma. And it's tough to see against, like, I think a really satisfying storyline would be him getting to the end and winning or even him losing. If he's a losing finalist, it would be so crazy to see such a charismatic, vibrant person not get the votes at the end. That could be an interesting twist as well.
I feel like we've seen that numerous times in Brother. I feel like Anthony, to a certain extent, was kind of like playing the same game. And I feel like,
bro, is the first season I've really got into. Did season 6 through 8 happen? Man, I'm sorry. They weren't that good seasons. This is a season.
This really is.
Providing.
I feel like even like Daniel Reyes like didn't touch the block BB3. Mm-hmm. Anthony didn't. I don't think Anthony touched the block in BB6. I don't believe so. And he made it to the final two, seven, and lost. And I hopefully, you know, the same rhetoric does not allow, you know, Ty to lose, because I feel like Ty has been playing a dope game. I just don't know if he's like, if he's perceivably so fully in charge of his game as like in the jury's eyes, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's something that needs to like flip.
Well, this is part of the problem though, is that like this attitude that he has in the DR about like, hey, it's not my fault that you're on the block, Beth. It's your fault for trying to save Jed. And then like denying his role and saying, I technically never said Brayden's name. That attitude that we're seeing is very much present in all his conversations with Beth, in all of the conversations he had with Jed. And Beth has been talking about Ty's jury management sucks, man. Like he is really not rubbing me the right way right now. And I know that that Jed did not leave feeling super pleased with Ty either. And so I think that that is something that he needs to worry about. I think that he definitely isn't seen as somebody who did a lot prior to recently, but I do think that one thing that helps him is that Tara has been saying, it wasn't me, it was Ty and Kiefer. So as long as he's not in the end with Kiefer, I think he could be okay, but he needs to cut Kiefer. I don't know if he will, so that's another thing that stands in his way. I mean, at the end of the day, the playing field is pretty wide open, and I think anybody can still win. It's just going to come down to who wins these competitions and do they not screw up massively. We'll have to see.
We always talk about it. Final four, BV can. There's no more comp heavy situation than that. You got a big HOH coming up. Big HOH, final four HOH, historically memory. You very often see him in the the bonus room, and there's that solve for X. You guys remember that comp? It's very historically that comp at the final four, where you have to solve for who was what on a week. And then final four veto is another very physical and very, I don't think they're quite as physical as they used to be back in the earlier seasons of Big Brother. Well,
this
I think
season
there are
has been significantly
these,
less.
These
physical
comps this season have been very like, even the buyback with Tara and Jed, it's anyone's game. And I think that's really good for Big Brother. The comp runs, even though I went on one personally, I don't think it's good for the narrative of the show at all. So it's coming down, man. I'm excited. Big final four here. And I could even see Tara. Even though I think Tara is the biggest underdog to win at the moment, there are storylines where she makes it happen for sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
We do see Brayden win this veto. We already talked about the competition a little bit here. This is when Brayden says, oh, I wish Ty had won. I wanted him to have his moment. This is when Kiefer says, hopefully you don't make the right move and backdoor me.
The fact that he's at the right move, like it should have like went alarms in Brayden's mind. I'm like, duh.
Well, he was
like,
considering it seriously, was he?
Yeah, or, I mean, Kiefer makes the pitch that Beth is about to make. And I'm sure I helps thought that kind of worked the pitch.
Didn't that work for him a little bit? Because he was like, this is, he nailed what Beth was going to say. And if you can predict what someone's going to pitch to a house guest, it's like, oh, the first person, if you can call out the exact strategy that another house guest is going to use, it's going to be really hard for that person to trust that other person. You know, I thought because he got ahead of it, it worked really well for him, actually.
I do agree with that to an extent, but I think the key to that is that you need to get out ahead of it and have a counter. He had no counter. He was just straight up, you need to make the move for your resume. So I wouldn't be surprised if you did. And then Beth comes up and says, you need to make the move for your resume. Kiefer's going to win. And then he was like, I don't know. Like if Kiefer had been like, I bet Beth's going to try and sell you on some dumb resume nonsense. You know, it's a bit like, oh, you need to. That's typical Beth. You know, typical Beth trying to get into people's heads, but instead he just added credibility to it ahead of time.
I know, Brayden, but I mean, to be honest, I get the logical point of going out the Kiefer, and I completely understand it, but I also can get the aspect of tunnel vision with Beth, where I'm like, okay, I can give him a little bit of grace in that aspect as well.
Man, so Beth was loud this episode.
Oh, extremely.
I want to talk to the audio crew that works on Big Brother Canada audio productions, because there's no compression device installed or anything. Because when Beth's voice comes through my television screen, it is shrill. It is an absolute piercing scream, and it makes me I turn down the TV when she's in that yelling state. It's unbelievable.
She likes to yell. She really she does. Yell.
Shout out to you remember Rosalina from season 6? She is the other one where I was like, wow. And it's like, you know, Big Brother needs to compress that audio.
I mean, I've got to say, they all like to yell. I mean, this is Ty.
I'm a screamer as well, so I can't fault them.
Yeah, I mean, I think really it's the fault of the I think, as you said, the audio engineers here that work at Big Brother Canada. Let's smooth these hard edges out of the audio. When the feeds came back after being down, they came back to Beth and Kiefer just yelling and screaming in the backyard for quite a while. It was not super fun. Let's get to work on the audio levels here.
Right. Don't allow Beth to scream. I'll be okay with the rest of them screaming. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Exactly. That Canada has decided to save is
Ty's great, man. Ty's the great, and you know, he's living his life, man. Him and the guys did some drag this year. You know, he's cuddling Braid. He's getting out there.
Yeah, he's doing amazing. His thing.
Yeah,
I love him.
We also saw they had some kind of like final five feast. This is, I guess, moment number two for Jacob. Kiefer walks out into the backyard, into the hot tub, and he's like,
"What? What?
What?"
I loved it. Literally any moment that I can get Kiefer
discovering new rooms.
Literally, I will subscribe to it. Like I will literally pay $10.99 or even $15.99 to see Kiefer walk into rooms that he hasn't been in before and explore it.
Yeah, Kiefer on the Amazing Race Canada. You know, every time he does something new,
it would be epic. It would be epic.
And literally, send when they somewhere. Were, get him traveling.
Partying. I was like, I love a good party. Like, I trust me, I am a partier. Like, I am the captain of partying. And so when I saw the setup, I mean, honestly though, they got a little bit too hyped for a little seltzer and appetizers. If I would have saw some deviled eggs there, I would have freaked out. Especially if bacon was
little
on
little potato
top,
salad. Little potato salad.
I mean, potato salad's okay. Yeah, that's okay. But I'm talking about deviled eggs. Like, oh God, it makes my like spine like, you know what I mean? But I mean, I guess, you know, they've been locked away. So some seltzer appetizers are like, you know, bon appetit for them.
Yeah. You're so deprived. Like when you're in the end stretch of Big Brother Canada, you're so deprived of normal social interaction or like even fun, you know. It's really,
yeah,
when you're in the same house for 3 months, it's like you, to get that, even that little bit of stimulation through the party, and it's, and you get hammered. Hammered. Your alcohol tolerance is very low deep in the game.
I'm so jealous.
All right. Well, we're going to get that. Beth makes this pitch to Brayden. She says Kiefer should be on the block. And Brayden's like, yeah, I thought people would take Kiefer out a long time ago. It's like, okay, well, right here.
Do it.
you have him unimmune.
Beth says the people will see that you finally got your wins and that you actually did something with them. And he goes to Ty and he says, I don't know why Kiefer's a shoo-in to win. This is dumb. Like I said, Ty really seems to push back on this, that do we need to do anything now? You don't want it to be Beth's move, do you? And Britain's like, yeah, Beth will try to claim this move if I make it. So it's, I guess I can't even make it anymore. Ty asks you, what does your gut say to you right now? And he says, my gut says Kiefer. But he doesn't do it. He chooses not to use the veto. After Beth again says, so many opportunities to make a move. There are only so many, and stand out from the rest. And, you know, this is your opportunity. And he chooses not to use, however, he doesn't want to get too much blood on his hands at the final five.
And it looks like Beth is, bye-bye Beth in fifth. Like I wrote down, it doesn't seem like there is a very good option for her to stay. You know,
yeah, I mean, you know, she is definitely Brayden's target. It's not looking great. We can get into spoilers soon and discuss what has been happening over the last few days on the feeds. That's where things seem to stand here in the episode. Anything else from the episode we wanted to talk about?
Great episode.
I thought it was an amazing episode. I thought it was really good.
Not as good as the last two. The last two were nines and a halfs. This is a solid above average episode for sure. I wanted to give a shout out to the comp was, I was really impressed. I wanted to double down with to pull off that production during the situation in Ontario right now with everyone locked down. Like you got a lot of us are where Big Brother Canada is filming right now is locked down and they're still pulling this off at a very high level. Very impressive to the production crew. And also I wanted to note that, what did I want to note? I think that's it. I just wanted to give BB Canada a special shout out because I've been very impressed as someone who has seen the behind the scenes and knows how hard it is to pull off this show. And with the Ontario situation, just a big round of applause to all of them. Very good job.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some spoilers then. We'll talk about...
I'm sucking up for All Stars, boys. I'm just someone click that and send that to the production team.
you're gonna. That's impressive competition set builds, is what I'm saying.
Those
winnable ones again, if you want to.
Yeah, they're funny.
All right, so what I'm gonna do now? I'm gonna hit the spoiler music, and we're all gonna dance. All right, that's Kevin.
Get ready, Kevin. Take off your shirt.
That was not that kind of podcast, Jacob.
That's after hours, man.
You have to watch on Twitch, which also is not allowed. So here we go. The spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right, there we go. What is the boy band that we're in that we're all dressed up in blue?
The Blue Boys.
What was it? The
Blue
Bros.
I mean, Blue boys. B-O-I-S, though, for boys.
There you go. There you go.
You know?
There's not a whole lot to update you guys on. As Kevin said, it does look like this is the end for Beth. Ty has said to Beth, have fun in jury, Beth. Because they got into a fight. Again, the jury management may be not on point here. And she is pretty frustrated with Ty. She just recently got into an altercation with Ty today, where she was calling him out about his manipulation of Brayden. So that was
a mess. What was sad about that?
That was not a. It was.
Kev, I think your mic changed to your non.
Go talk.
Yes. Go ahead, Jacob.
That argument, it pissed me off because for one, I get Beth is desperate and I feel like in this entire game, I've never been a Beth fan. Hello? Just based off of,
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you're good. Based off of like what Beth have said, I've never been a Beth fan, but I feel like this comment that she made, it was like too much. It made her seem so disgusting. I'm like, if I even had a little inch of Beth stand in me, that thing is gone out the window. She called out. I don't know what she said specifically, but
what I would have to say is that like Beth's actions with Jed are far more manipulative than Ty's actions with Brayden, even though optically, I mean, it's people are a little. This is more common with two men flirting with each other. It's not as common. It's very often for the storyline to be there of like, evil, where it just seems like they're having fun to me.
And they cut Phoebe immediately, like when she said.
Oh, yes. Really? Well, so Beth is basically trying to get Ty to admit that that he said, that he didn't want Brayden to be doing any of these things. And that's because he did say that. He said to Beth that he hopes Brayden doesn't win the HOH because then he will expect him to be in the HOH room alone with him all the time. And that he is sick of having to deal with Brayden and his sort of like he is a bit much in terms of the affection. And they talked about how he's got to put up with it because he's playing Brayden. It's a messy situation, I think, all around here. It was definitely like, oh boy, like this was interesting timing for this to pop up in the episodes for the first time.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like Beth needs votes to stay, and Ty is a vote to stay. And I feel like why even lob that to Ty if it's going to piss him off and frustrate him, and she's trying to get the votes to stay.
So it's five this week. So it's a one. Beth will need a 1-1 tiebreaker, mm-hmm. Which seems she'll either need a 2-0 or a 1-1 tiebreaker, which seems like a bit of a stretch. I'm curious. What's Beth's plan right now? Even though it seems unlikely, what's her plan right now to stay? Does she have one?
She's just flinging anything she can against the wall right now.
Strong narrative. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to even think of one, and I'm on the spot here, but it's really tough. How do you vote out Tara over Beth at this point? That's the issue. As we talked about earlier, deeper in the game, it's the bigger chance, By the way, Beth did bring some good villain moments to this season. I think, villains on Big Brother Canada are going to get roasted on social media. That's the day we live in. I hope Beth can take it postseason, because this is one of the, in terms of villain trends, Beth is not liked. She's not liked. And even though certain people have been annoyed at other house guests, like this level of hate has gotten to a very high level, I think, for Beth. So I hope she does fine post show. I think she has having that entity, even though I've rooted against her, having that entity to root against is very important for these seasons for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely. I agree with you.
Yeah. I think the thing here is that Beth really shouldn't be going. Like, there's not really any reason for her to. I think that she could very easily like be the person who Ty and Brayden sort of drag along, because she would be very easy to convince that, like Ty, if Ty went to Beth and said, like, Brayden won 3 competitions in a row, I know I can't beat him now, I know I need you in this game. And then Brayden went to Beth and he said, I'm keeping you safe this week, we've had a connection all season long, you know I wouldn't do that to you. She would go, I'm a mastermind, I've got them both in the palm of my hand, I'm gonna win this game. And she would not target them at the final four, she would target Kiefer. And I think that it would be very easy to do that to Beth. But instead they're going with Tara, who I think is a lot more likely to take a shot at either Brayden or Ty, lot less likely to take a shot at Kiefer at the final four. And so I do think there's a lot of reason for them to keep Beth. The problem is that, like, she just, like, jumps on the first shiny idea that she has, in terms of, like, well, this is an argument, like, as you saw, her first argument was like, don't put me on the block because I won't use the veto. And then it was, you know, you should put Kiefer on the block because he's the biggest threat. And it was like, oh, why am I going on the block when I had nothing to do? Ty and Kiefer were the ones that did this. She's constantly throwing different people under the bus at different times because there are different goals in different situations. And she's completely shattered any credibility that she has. And she is sort of put up so much nonsense in front of her that Ty and Brayden can't see through it to see that it might actually be good for them to keep her around.
And I think that's why Beth is so irritating, because she's been in a situation of power for so long, calling the shots, cockiness, laughing, I'm awesome. And then finally, when this script is flipped, it's like she really pulls out this victim card of like, I can't believe you guys would do this to me. And the combination of those two things has made her not liked by anybody, basically.
Especially his mom.
Oh my God. Poor Jed's mom on Twitter is really having a rough time. Future Big Brother house guests, if you get on the show, your parents love you. They will watch the show. Tell them to stay off of social media. Tell your parents legitimately, whether you are loved or whether you are hated, they should not. It's very bad. I told my entire family, stay off of social media, and they did. And thank goodness, because they would have had a really tough time. So that's a little piece of advice to someone who's done this a couple times.
Yes, definitely should be the case. They should be advised by production.
Yeah. Confirmed again by the house guests. Like, it's not a joke. It can be a really rough 3 months for people.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what we've got here. Again, there's still no real confirmation from the feeds where the targets are being aimed right now at the final four. I think for many of these players, it is still just up in the air. They might just decide when it happens, who's available, what the decision might be. And so who knows where things are going to go from here, but I think a lot of it's going to come down to these competitions. And really, not only just come down to the competition, but what even are the competitions? That's going to be a huge factor as well. Are they the kinds of competitions where you're used to seeing in the end game, where there's a lot of physicality involved? Or is it going to be the sort of new style of competition where it's a little more even, and each person has a little bit more of a chance? Given that this veto, the last two vetoes have both been decently physical, I'm wondering if we are starting to see a trend toward a more physical end game. Who knows?
I'm very interested to see this storyline. I'm always very fascinated in these end game competitions. It's obviously something I obsessed about during my season, for sure. So it's going to be interesting again, because Final Four HOH, very commonly a very skilled memory game. If you really practice and you really have your shit on lockdown, you should really excel at that. And then same with the Final Four veto. So, I mean, Ty went perfect in the memory comp. Final Five HOH, Memory Comp, you nailed everyone. I would think he would be one of the big favorites to win these competitions down the stretch. Also, Kiefer. Well, Kiefer has shown some brilliance. I've really paid attention during the trivia. He's missed some easy questions that make me think he's a little out to lunch with some of these memory things. And then, you know, who knows? Tara. Tarek has a chance to win one or two of these. Don't count her out. And then Braden's. So there seems to be a nice distribution of competitions this year, which has really helped the season.
For sure. Yeah. So that is about what we have got. Jacob Jones, anything else you wanted to bring up?
I mean, I'm here for the Ty and Bray, whatever.
Route, final two,
the final two, their story I'm here for. And I think like this has definitely been like, I mean, even like just going back to last Thursday, even the fake double eviction, like that gave me anxiety that I have been missing from Big Brother for so long. Like it made my chest palpitate with like nerves based on who was leaving. I haven't felt that feeling in so long. So I want to thank Big Brother Canada for like delivering on that. And we just have an amazing season. And I think like this final five that we have is honestly, it's anyone's game, depending on how they play their cards.
Kevin, anything else you wanted to talk about?
Quick echo, man. Unbelievable season. And the volleyball was sitting here to spike it down. BBUS struggled. And as we mentioned during this podcast a couple times, you are measured against your competition, and BV Can has killed it, man. And you feel a resurgence. There's an energy about the show for me. I dropped off. I wasn't active on social media during 6-7. It just didn't have me. Part of that is because I did do season 5, and I think host guests tend to take a break, but I'm back fully. I'm riding the franchise, man. I think they're doing great things. One final note. The poker memory comp was unbelievable, man. I was losing my mind.
Can you believe Tara's strategy, though?
Oh, my Lord. They all played it so... I mean, Beth and Braden showed some aggression. It's mind-blowing. Tara, how do you think you're going to win the comp betting one or two chips? The optimal strategy, all in every time. Bet the max amount. Because they gave you two options. It's a 50-50, even if you don't know the... you know, you got to play for the win in these comps. You see this very historically. One final note. I don't want to go too nerdy. You see this in poker. You see this in Jeopardy. And you see this in these style of competitions. Newer players are scared of losing, where very often the optimal strategy is to go for it. Mm-hmm. In a lot of these games involving bets and money, poker, Jeopardy, you got to go all in a lot. You got to make big risks, or else you're just not going to win. So great comp. I was a little disappointed that no one had the optimal strategy. Would have loved to see that.
I liked your tweet about that competition.
Yeah. A memory comp plus a poker. Oh my God. I was losing my mind. I was like, hey,
it was amazing.
Yeah, I loved it. It was like they made my day with that.
Yeah. I feel like you start by betting like a third of your chips. And then if you get it right, you just increase the amount of chips you're betting. Cause you're right. Like 50% chance of getting it right. Even if you don't know what it is. Plus the fact that you might know the answer to the question means that more than 50% of the time you will win the bet, which means you should be wanting to bet as much as possible. And the only thing that will kill you is if you completely run out of chips.
That's the thing. It's a positive investment. Your return on investment, ROI, is going to be larger, especially because you're going to get more than half the questions correct. Every chip you bet, you're going to see a bigger return than that one chip. And it's a winner take all. I don't want to get too nerdy about the comp, but I loved it. I thought it was great.
It was great.
All right. So there we go. That is the Wednesday night episode. That's all we've got for you.
What?
Yeah.
Boys, what a crew, man. I Taryn asked me to do the podcast. I had no clue Jacob was going to be here. And here he was. I'm so happy. This was awesome. What a dream team for a podcast.
This is honestly, like, I'm with the eye candy of the Big Brother universe and the eye candy of the street universe. And I'm like in the middle, and I'm like, you know, in the lap of luxury right now. You know what I mean? I'm the eye candy of my universe. And so, and of you guys' universe. And so, you know, it works out.
We're all in a universe. All right. Well, thank you both for joining me here. This was definitely a lot of fun. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning to update you guys on whatever happened today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds tomorrow night. I'll be live during the episode watching it on Twitch, and then afterwards we'll be recapping the episode. Of course, during the day tomorrow at around 1 p.m. Eastern, I will be live to talk about the Stockwatch and run through all of the possible scenarios for next week. And then we've got Circle coverage coming your way. I actually just spoke to Jacob Jones earlier today about episode 9 of The Circle. That was a
How's
podcast.
How's that show going this year? How's the season?
I think it's a fun season. It's a very fun season to tune into, Kevin. You need to definitely tune in. And the
Maybe
podcast
I should
that
pick
me,
it up after BB
the podcast
Ryan.
That me and Taryn discussed. It was so fun, so fun, so light.
Yeah, we had a lot of cake. I mean, it was great.
We had a lot of cake. That's the hashtag cake. That's the key phrase for that podcast is cake.
Yeah. So if you want to continue to hang out with us tonight, Kevin and I will be on Twitch playing Pummel Party that Jacob Jones is not invited to. But Bruno will be joining us. Puya should be joining us. So it's kind of like fun. A Mario Party-esque game. So you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We'll continue to hang out and talk all kinds of stuff there. Check all of it out. Kevin, where can people find you?
Yeah, kevinmartin.tv. kevinmartin.tv. Taking my poker career very seriously. I'm shooting for the stars. We're having some good things happen and very exciting. I'm very excited about my stream and my direction in the poker community. I think big things are coming, boys.
All right. And Jacob, where can people find you?
People can find me at JacobJ_Jones. And I'm there if you want to chat, if you want to subscribe. Depends on what you think.
All right. Well,
did you just drop your OnlyFans?
I've got an OnlyFans
link.
Follow Jacob Jones on OnlyFans.
I'm gonna go subscribe right now.
Y'all are funny.
Kind of content you're producing
y'all are
over there.
Funny. Y'all are funny.
see what's going on. All right, so that's what we've got for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and I will see all of you next time.